we do, it matters what we say. We cannot think that it doesn't. We cannot approach it in a way in which we think that, you know, it's going to happen naturally. It is not. It is very important, not just for the preacher, but for his family, for his wife, and for his children. I oftentimes wondered if those who are married to preachers or those who look at the preacher and their family, if they really understand the extent and the importance of the local work. It is a universal representation of our Savior, Jesus Christ, not just for the members we come in contact with, but for the community, for the world. We are a representation of what Christ did and wanted to exemplify. And yet, there are enemies for even such a great thing as the local work. There are enemies, and there are many. But today we're going to look at these three great enemies: murmuring, gossiping, and complaining. Murmuring is a private evil. Gossiping is a public evil. And complaining is a combination of both, private and public. We all have seen it before. We've seen it in our coworkers. We've seen it in our children. We've seen it in other members of the church. We've even seen it in ourselves. Sometimes we've been the giver of these things. Sometimes we've been the recipient of these things. But we can all explain, and we probably all have very vivid stories of the damage that they have done, the damage that they have caused. And sometimes the damage is long-term. You're talking 10 years, 20 years. Who can speak of the tremendous amount of pain that has been caused because of these three evils: murmuring, gossiping, and complaining? Yet, I have to admit that from the preacher's wife, from an elder's wife, or even from a deacon's wife, it's magnified. I can't explain to you why. It's the same thing. Every Christian is held accountable for this. But yet, from us, for some reason, it is 10 times worse. It has ramifications that affect our husbands. It affects their message. It affects those in whom they're teaching. It just has widespread ramifications. And we cannot ignore that. We cannot just say that's not fair and take our ball and go home. We can't do that. We have to accept it, and we have to deal with it. And in what way will we deal with it? In what way will we look at it? I have to admit that I have wrestled with these three before. I have done battle with them, and I know that you have. And it has not been easy to have to deal with these in a way that causes reproach. But yet, I'm thankful that God is a forgiving God. I'm thankful that He has a remedy for the sins that occur and these sins that occur. I am thankful that He has given us all an opportunity to obey the truth, to know the truth, to live the truth, to love the truth, and to share it. And that is something that these three enemies cannot stand up against. They can't. It's impossible. This avenue has been given to us to remind us of many things. But the one thing that I think that we need to understand is that this avenue gives us an opportunity to understand the necessity and, most important, our ability to take control of these three enemies. First in ourselves and then in others. Now, I know that some of you know me and some of you don't. But you're going to get to know my personality because I can't help but share it. I want you, if you don't mind, to close your eyes. I want you to visualize yourself, and I'm having a hard time standing with this mic, but I'm going to try to stay with it. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to visualize yourself as a superhero. Yeah, you are a superhero. And the city in which you serve and protect, we're going to just call it the local work city or the city of local work. Take your heroic stance, whatever it is. Now, some of you are probably visualizing yourself in the Superwoman costume. You are probably visualizing yourself in that Wonder Woman costume. Some of you have Catwoman in mind. But ladies, let's keep it modest. We do not want to be immodest, even in our visualization. But we, as Christian women, are watchmen. We are watchmen like Ezekiel. God has set up watchmen like he did in Isaiah, like he told Isaiah. And that's us. We as Christian women, we are shields sometimes protecting those that we love from the enemy. And I want us to visualize for this moment, you are that superhero. Now, we all know the stories of the fictitious. When you can open your eyes now, keep the visualizing in your head, but open your eyes. Now, we all know the superheroes of the cartoons and the characters and how they all had weaknesses. We had Superman, and his weakness was, what was Superman's weakness? Kryptonite. Okay, what's Batman's weakness? I know he has many, but let's name a few. One, who knows what Batman's weakness is? Every man's weakness, right? His identity was probably one of them. He had to keep that identity secret, right? The fact that he's human. He had no supernatural power. All of his was gadgets and, you know, he didn't have like, you know, Superman was bulletproof. You know, he didn't have that ability, right? What about the first Green Lantern? Who can remember what the very first Green Lantern's weakness was? Anybody? No? Green Lantern's ring could not penetrate wood. He's right. They had weaknesses. And they all kind of change as they go. How do I know this? I've got kids. I've got 5 kids. I mean, see, they're experts on these things. They know these things. But they had weaknesses. Okay? And ladies, we have to admit, as superheroes, we do too. We have weaknesses. But guess what? The villains also, in these scenarios, had weaknesses. If they didn't, then there would be no story of them being defeated, would it? But they all had weaknesses. Well, guess what? Our villains for today are murmuring, gossiping, and complaining. These are our villains. And these are the villains that we're going to deal with. And these three villains have weaknesses. And I want to share with you what their weaknesses are. Because we are going to take our stand as watchmen. We're going to take our stand as superheroes. And we're going to defeat these enemies everywhere we go. Not just in our local work, but in our homes as well. Okay, the first one is murmuring. The weakness to murmuring is study. Study. The weakness to gossiping is love. And the weakness to complaining is prayer. Study, love, and prayer. So let's deal with the first one. Let's deal with murmuring. Listen, ladies, if you don't remember anything else that I have said today, if it just all leaves your mind, remember this. I don't care how many Bible studies we sit in on. I don't care how many lessons we hear our husbands preach or some other dynamic gospel preacher. I don't care how many Bible classes we sit on and listen to. It will not replace personal study. It is not enough. It is not going to defeat murmuring if it's a problem of yours. Just hearing it, just sitting in on it, just listening to it is not enough. And I know some of you may be thinking, you know, I'm a woman. I've been giving a scriptural pass, if you will, on deep study. You know, we're not hired preachers. We don't usurp authority. Our role is in the home, right? Right? We don't have the responsibility that these preachers have in order to lead, or elders have in order to feed the flock. That's not our role. We don't really have to do that, right? No, we do. And the evidence of that is in our local congregation, because sin affects everyone. And as long as sin is in the world, you personally will need to study. You will need to dig into the deeper things of God's Word. You cannot remain on the surface. You cannot just know the basic elements of God's Word. You have to eventually get down and put your hands in this book and personally go into it for your personal use. And I guarantee you, sound knowledge of God's Word will defeat murmuring every single time. Why? Because God's Word can tame the heart. God's Word can guide the mind. Let's look at some passages of Scripture. Turn to Psalms 119. Someone just called me and I accidentally answered the call instead of Psalms 119. Now, when somebody gets that, I want you to read it. I want you to read it loud, and I want you to read it clearly, because we're going to share this with everyone. Psalms 119, and I want you to read. Now, this is a long passage, but I want you to hear. And whoever reads, read it very clearly and distinctly. Please do not rush through it. We know you can read. We know you can read well, because if you volunteered, apparently you can't. But read it clearly. Psalms 119, 21 through 32. Do y'all hear that, ladies? Murmuring is something that begins in the mind. It starts when something just, you don't like it. And guess what happens? You begin to speak to yourself with discontent. You grumble. You're disheartened. But look at what God's Word says. If we truly believe that God will take care of our enemies, if we truly believe that God will comfort our hearts and will guide us, what are we murmuring for? To what purpose is it serving? Is it serving you? Is it serving anyone else? Is it serving God? Listen to what he says. You rebuke the proud, the cursed who stray from your commandments. We don't do that. Yes, we do righteous judgment. Yes, we make righteous judgments. But I really appreciate what Carla said about we need to be careful about the judgment calls we make and how we react to them. We need to know that God already has a plan and a purpose for those in which stray from his commandments. Let us not be the ones that are straying from his commandments. And that straying starts in our mind, in our hearts, where that murmuring begins. It is time, and it will always be time, that we take God's statutes, we take his word, and we put it somewhere in our hearts, in our minds, so much so that it becomes a natural reaction. It'll start as something that we have to think about, but it'll eventually get to something that we do naturally. How many of us, when we first learned how to drive, somebody had to tell us, this is how you put it in gear. You got to put the key in the ignition. You got to turn the key. Then you got to put it in gear. You got to step on the brake. I mean, every little detail had to be explained and shown to us. Now, if you've been driving for any amount of time and you still have to do that, I think you need to stay off the road. Okay? At some point, it just becomes natural. At some point, we just get in the car. We start it. We don't have to explain step by step. We have to get to the point to where we are doing that with God's Word, with the things that he is commanding in his statutes, to where it's a part of us. It is us. We don't murmur because we're some great person. We're so special and we don't have to, you know, do anything. No, we don't murmur anymore because God's word is in our heart. And it's a part of who we are. Now let's go to gossiping. And I don't like this one very much, but it's got to be dealt with. Now on the TV shows, we see kryptonite, right? That weakens Superman. And if you watch any of those movies, you saw that the villain would trap Superman in some remote place with kryptonite, either strapped around his arm or strapped around his body or in some kind of way, and he can't move. He's disabled. He can't do anything, right? And every time, there was always something that happened or someone that came along that helped Superman out, right? He was unable to move any further. But something or somebody came along and helped him. And if it wasn't for that help, oh, the storyline would have ended. Superman would have been dead, and Gotham City would have been, is it Gotham City? No, Batman. Whatever city that Superman was in would have been lost forever. Well, you know what? We as superheroes, we just have to admit that, you know, we need help. I'm sure I'm in a room full of super women. Y'all are super women, aren't y'all? Y'all are just fantastic, phenomenal women that can do it all, right? Y'all have done it all yourself. You've worked, you've raised your kids, you've kept your home, you've been Christian model citizens all your life. I know, we're all wonderful, but you know what? At some point, we all have to admit that we need help. And the help that we need is sometimes in this form, but God's word provides it. And the weakness for gossiping is love. Now, we all probably are saying, I love my husband, I love my children, I love my friends, I love my family. But are we really perfected in love? Are we really at the point where we share that agape love that is needed? If we have arrived, if we have achieved that type of agape love, then gossiping would not exist. It would not be a problem. We would not share a matter that we know would tear somebody down. Sometimes it's done in an attempt to build ourselves up. We're not feeling so good about ourselves. So you know what? I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And I need to tell somebody about what so-and-so did because, you know, I didn't do that. But if we love, we won't share it. Aren't we all thankful that God loved us? How would you feel if God, if he was able to say he shared our deepest secrets? If he shared the things that we keep in our hearts? What if he shares those things that we pray to him at night? What if God told somebody, anybody, those private, intimate prayers that we have to him? Would we want to serve a God like that? Would we want to pray to a God like that? No, but because God loved us, he's not going to do that. Well, he's not going to do it anyway, but why should we? We need to be very careful. I want us to turn to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. And I had some other passages of Scripture that I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to give them to you just because I have them. We didn't read it, but about murmuring. Let me go back. Let me give you these so that you can write these down because this is good for you to look at later. In addition to Psalms 21 to 32, also Psalms 119, 78 through 88. Take the time and read those as well. Psalms 119, 78 through 88. I think it's 88, yeah. Now I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And again, I'm going to ask for a reader to read it out loud. And verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 12. Hatred stirs up strife. But love covers how many offenses? All offenses. At one time or another, you may be the one that commits the offense. And it's so funny, but when you're the one committing the offense, you're wanting a little love at that point, right? You're wanting somebody to cover it. How do you think a person feels that another person commits the offense? Don't you think they want a little love? Don't you think they need a little love? Yes, they do. And we need to give it. It's been given to us, and we need to give it to them. Also, if you just drop down to verse number 18, also read verse number 18 in that same chapter. Now, I know we hate that word, fool. I know it's a bad word. Don't want to say it around the kids. But this is God saying this. This is not Evelyn. This is God saying this. You spread slander, that's what you are. And everybody knows it. It's not hidden. It's not a secret. If you're the one spreading it, everybody knows that at that point in what you're doing, that's exactly what you are. Please don't be a fool. Please don't. We're still in the local work. We're still where souls hang in the balance. We're still at the point to where this is how important it is. Not just your soul, but the souls of others. The souls of your children. The souls of those that are around you. All of this is at stake. Please do not be a fool. Now turn to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Somebody read for me very loudly, verse number 9. Verse number 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. God says it better than anybody else. Ladies, this is not worth whatever it is we feel is good about us sharing something that we shouldn't. Even if it's true, it doesn't matter. If it's going to tear down, it does not need to be repeated. Even if it's true. If it's going to build up and help, that's when we need to do it. But otherwise, we do not need to repeat it. All right, let's go to 16. Go to Proverbs 16, the previous chapter, and read verse 27 and 28. Read it loudly, verse 27 and 28. We do not want to be ungodly men. We don't want to be ungodly in our deeds. And that's exactly what gossip labels you, makes you. Ungodly. It's not worth it, ladies. Now, if you're the one thinking that, you know what, I don't spread gossip. I don't say anything. I may listen to it. You know, somebody come to me and they want to share something. I'm not going to turn them away. I'm a good listener. Do you think you're exempt? How many think they're exempt if they choose to listen to the little juicy details? You're not. And I'm not just saying this. God says it. Read Proverbs 17 and verse number 4. Read it out loud. Read it loud. You're not exempt if you listen to it, if you give ear to it. Shut it off. If I start something that's gossip and it just sounds like it's gossip to you, shut me off. Stop me in my tracks. You will be helping me. You will be helping yourself. We always are concerned about what other people think. Oh, well, I don't want to be rude. Well, what about what God thinks? What about what God says? We need to be more concerned with that at times, and we need to stop it in its tracks. Love covers all. Now, when we truly master love, we will not speak evil one of another. We will not repeat a matter that's going to tear down. And this great enemy deserves for us to stand up and be the superheroes that we are.
And I believe if you're a faithful Christian, that you're striving to do what God would, that you're a superhero. I'm equating those. I mean, I'm giving it a spiritual analogy, if you will. So when I say superhero, that's what I mean. Okay? All of us are. And the great enemy of gossiping can be defeated with love. Lastly, complaining. Complaining. None of us like complaining, especially parents. I think we definitely hate it. I know that Carla wasn't saying complaining, but when that pouting and that whining and stuff, that to me, you know, is equated with complaining. I'm sorry. You're on your little me. Oh, woe is me. What about me? I'm sorry. You know, I agree with her. I just think that the complaining is just, it's sad. It's sad. Well, you know what? God also agrees with that. God agrees that complaining is not what we need. Now, we can all go back to the Old Testament and we can look at the children of Israel and we can see what happened to them when they were murmuring and complaining against Moses. We know the story of what happened. But why do we do it? Why do we find ourselves doing it? When we're dissatisfied and discontent, the complaining comes out. It starts in our mind. We're thinking it. It's there. It's festering. It's growing like a weed, like a cancer. And guess what? It just eventually comes out of our mouth. Something happens and we just don't like how it's done. We don't like what they did. And guess what? We've got to share it. And we've got to share it to the extent that we know better than them. And we're going to complain about it. Just complain. To me, sometimes people who complain often, and not even really a part of it sometimes, you know, I know that you guys have maybe experienced the situation where you're planning an event or you're planning something that's very good and you get the person that comes in and says, "That's not going to work. It's not going to work. Why did you do it that way? Why do you have black instead of red? Why did you put this in? This doesn't go here. You know, this should go over there." You know, they were never part of the planning. They didn't come to the meeting about putting it together. They didn't come with, and yet they come with all these grandiose ideas of wondering why you didn't do this and why you didn't do that. Does anybody like those people when they do that? Anybody? I'm not raising my hand, but I'm just saying. Anybody? No? No. No. Guess what? At one point or another, sometimes that person is you. Sometimes you may not have ever done it. I don't know you. But when you get to that point to where you are discontent with everything and you've got to share it, that person is you. And this great enemy can only be defeated with prayer. Talk to God. Don't complain to God. Don't complain to anybody else. But take to God those things that are in your heart that you care about. Take your worries, take your concerns, take all of your cares and pray to God. Talk to God. It is a great healer. It is a great comfort. Complaining does no good. Prayer does. Complaining doesn't help. Prayer does. Complaining offers no solution. Prayer does. Turn to 1 John. 1 John 5. And I want you to read 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Do we have that confidence? I mean, honestly, ask yourself, do we have that confidence that when we go to God, He hears us? A person who is at peace has no reason to complain. A person who has been comforted has no reason to murmur or to gossip. Take your cares, take your words to God with confidence that He hears you. And your heart will be comforted and you will have no reason to complain. Prayer is a great weakness to complaining. Also turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. When you get there, read it loudly. One of the best times to go to God is in the time of need. Now, when you don't have anything, you know, don't have a need and all is well, still go to God with thanksgiving. We're not negating that. But when you find yourself being discontent and dissatisfied, go to God. He is there. Prayer provides and supplies and exemplifies peace. And if you have peace, you will not complain. You will not complain. What do you have to complain about? The last scripture, turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is the last scripture for this one. Philippians chapter 4. And we're all too familiar with this. I'm sure we've heard it before, time and time again. But this serves as our reminder and our encouragement. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Listen, ladies, we have all heard this before. We have all wrestled with them before. We've defeated them, and they probably come back and caught us off guard every now and then. But today, I want all of us as superheroes to take our stand. Take your stand where you are, and I want you to let Satan know and put him on notice that his devices, they're not going to work. They're not going to succeed here. We're going to put it on the run. Today, we want to take our stand. We want to pull out all the weapons that we have in our arsenal. Okay, don't go light. Okay, don't go light on Satan. Pull them all out. Pull all the weapons that you have of mass destruction. And the weapons I'm talking about is God's Word, the ones that we're talking about today. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about prayer. And I'm talking about study. Pull them all out. Go all out. Hold nothing back. Hold nothing back. And take your stand and let it be known that these are not going to defeat you. They're not going to catch you. And when they do that for you, then it'll extend out to all those who are around you. It will be a benefit and a help to everyone around you when these devices are defeated. If we go all out and if we hold nothing back, if we study as much as we can, if we love as much as we can, and if we pray as much as we can, we are not just a force to be reckoned with. We are the superheroes of our local congregation. We are the victors when we only stand with God. Thank you very much.